The Survivor Specialist, Phil, John, and McKenna are back with our final episode for now of defining episodes. We don't know the two 49ers what episodes we're going to be doing yet. Obviously, 49 hasn't aired, although it will in a month. But we are instead talking about Rick Devens today, the final of the 22 that we actually know something about. And it is episode number 6 from Edge of Extinction. That is, There's Always a Twist. It's him getting back into the game and getting to journey and become the legend that gets himself on the first podcast with Jeff. And now he gets to come back and play again in 50. And there's high demand for him. And Jeff almost had Rick Devens doing a fire tokens salesman thing for something. This is huge. And Rick Devens is my winner pick. And after rewatching this, it's like he has such like an aw shucks thing going on that really makes you want to root for him. And that's kind of what the commas fall for here. And if the commas would have just went along with Wentworth and Lauren and said, you know what, we should get Rick Devens out of this game, they would have saved themselves a big freaking headache. So Rick Devens, what do you guys got to say?
The interesting thing about Rick Devens here is this is Rick Devens 2.0. And it's something we kind of forget with Edge of Extinction, but Rick comes in and he's already lost the game. Like, he's already been voted out. He's playing with house money at this point. He's back. And he does not care anymore. And that is very evident with the way he's going. He pulls on the heartstrings of someone like Julie, who's like, oh, well, how can we vote off this person who just got back into the game? We can't do that. He continues his strategic alliance with David, but he's also a man scorned. He's like, why on earth would I work with these people from Lesu? Like, that would be a terrible decision. They voted me out of the game. And he just plays with this. It's so hard to explain, but he plays with this ability to be like, it's like we're unleashed to character Rick Devens, but it made him better at strategy somehow.
Mm-hmm. Edge of Extinction is a top tier season if you know the outcome. On a rewatch, I absolutely love Edge of Extinction, and I love rewatching it once I know, oh, Chris Underwood wins, none of this matters. Mm-hmm. Then you can focus on like their character, how people are maneuvering in the game. And so to have Rick Devens come back, and where he has, you know, played with house money and has, you know, if he gets voted out again, he can just try and come back again, like be the cockroach that just won't die kind of thing. And he is just such a great character where he also is backed up by strategy, but like, I'm not worried about him being too much of a character either. Like he toes that line of character and strategy really, really well, where some people tip over the edge on one or the other.
I think the thing with Devens that's so interesting is like, we could have picked so many episodes for Devens, right? We could have picked so many. He plays, what, three idols or something? Like, he four wins idols, four immunities. He plays however many idols, like, whatever it is. We could have picked so many episodes. But none of it happens if he doesn't win his way back in. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of people talk about, oh, Rick Devens was eating up too much screen time in the second half, blah, blah, blah. The problem with Edge of Extinction, and I understand where McKenna's coming from by saying it's top tier if you know the outcome. The problem with Edge of Extinction, though, is everything that's happening in the game truly does not matter because the person who wins is not playing the game. And that's why I think this season suffers so much. And that's why Rick Devens is so focused on. Because what's the storyline for the second half of the game? It's not, can Kama keep it together? It's not, can Wardog and Lauren and Kelly Wentworth figure it out? It's, can Rick Devens come back into the game and win? Why is that the storyline? Because then the storyline becomes, can Chris Underwood come back into the game and win? And if you don't tell the story through Devens' eyes here, then by the time it all comes to fruition with Underwood, we don't really know as an audience what we're doing. So it was almost like the editors were scared to make us feel too strongly about anybody from Kama because they knew that Kama wasn't going to win. So Devens becomes the sole rooting interest. So we don't get super pissed off because Devens has the same storyline as what Chris has. Chris just has it later in the game. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I also think, though, a really good point there, McKenna, that you made is, or maybe it was John, I forget. But it was, they know, he knows that if he gets voted off, he just goes back to Edge of Extinction. Okay. Knowing Edge of Extinction is still there in the second half of the game allows you to play a little bit more recklessly. Mm-hmm. Because even though you don't want to go to Edge of Extinction, you'd rather stay in the game. You know that at some point you will have another chance to get back in, so you can be a little bit more aggressive early. Now, Devins isn't super aggressive here, but we see the way he starts to talk to Wardog and Lauren and Kelly and some of the moves he starts to make later in the game, because he knows if he gets voted out, he still has another chance to get back into the game. So there's a couple things there, but I think the reason why Devins is such a big character on this season is just, why would you get us invested in somebody else's story? Devins' story is written for you. And he ultimately falls short for somebody else who has the same story. I agree with you, McKenna. I don't think he's actually going to be as big of a character on this season. He won't eat up all the screen time the way some people fear he will.
No, I don't think so. But he's also probably getting the first confessional of the entire season.
Oh, for sure. Oh, like, no, I don't know.
Colby, no, there is McKenna. No, there's no way the first confessional of this season is not a Rick Devins report.
I don't know. I mean,
it'll, like, the happen. First, I don't know if it'd be first.
The first confessional ever of Survivor is Rudy being like, man, these kids. Mm-hmm. So, like, we could get something of Colby or Jenna being like, man, these kids.
Like, I could see Jeff saying, to celebrate the 50th season of Survivor, we went through all the eras and we brought back 24 of the best players to ever play. I was there on day one in Borneo, and then I won 5 challenges in Australia. Boom, boom. And then you get Savannah or Rizza God being like, oh, man, I just played, and now I'm getting to play with my best friends. This is going to be awesome.
Like, but, like, I almost don't count those as confessionals. You got to hit the beach. I know they are, but it's like you got to hit the beach, get camp life, and then cut to someone.
I literally, everybody's just frustrated that I just spoiled the first 5 minutes of the season. That's what my friend's trying to say. Spoiled the first 5 minutes of the season.
All right. If it hits exactly, that's going to be crazy.
And then it's going to be like, we have some of the best physical players ever. Joe, Jonathan. And we have some of the best strategic minds. This is my 5th time playing. I plan on winning this time. Hi, sir. Like, it's the first 10 minutes are written already. It's already done. You know who's not going to be in those first 10 minutes? Genevieve. You know who else isn't going to be in those first 10 minutes? Devins? Like, Devins might be.
Devins will be.
Devins, like John said, he could be, but he's not going to be first. But, like we're probably not going to be hearing from Angelina in those first 10 minutes. So, okay. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's get back to Devins.
I think the interesting thing with this episode for Devins, and like the reason why we had to select it, because like you said, like this is Devins coming back into the game. This is the birth of Devins. It's kind of like how we've talked about some of these episodes really defining them, because it shows who they are as an all-encompassing player. This is the episode that lets Devins be Devins. Mm-hmm. And throughout that entire, like, earn it back challenge, that entire challenge focused on Chris.
Yeah.
The entire challenge is focused on Chris. And then Devins pulls it off, and you're like, oh, cool, Devins is back. What's going to happen? And it's all about him just, how is he going to interact with these people who voted him out of the game? Because mm-hmm. They're also the lesser number, so it doesn't even make strategic sense for him to go with them.
Hey, zinger.
But he's also, even though they just all saw him win this challenge and win this challenge against Chris Underwood, he's underestimated. Mm-hmm. Where Julie is just telling him the plan of, like, it's not you. I can't tell you exactly why it's not you or who it is, but just know you're safe. And she's just putting in trust of, like, he can't go home yet. Mm-hmm. He just got here.
That would be rotten.
So he's just underestimated as a strategic player in the game, or just as a player in the game, because Julie's kind of counting him out of, like, we can get him again next time.
And that is also what I think Devins has working for him here. Most people wouldn't believe he won 4 challenges, right? Yep. He does it. He's got the dad bod. He even says that when he gets back on the bench to, I think, Kelly Wentworth, where it's like, my dad bod's back or something like that. And she's, you know, she's like, I'm so happy your dad bod's here, whatever. Like, Devins, he's automatically unassuming. And when you're on a when you're on a beach with Jonathan and Ozzy and Dee and Kyle and Sari, all these other people speak for themselves in one way or another. Devin's, it starts to be like, what is it that makes Devin's threatening? Because if Devin's doesn't come back into the game, we don't talk about Devin's. Like, if Devin's doesn't get back in, we don't talk about him. And you also have to remember, yeah, he had to survive this first tribal. He's handed an idol, though. And he's still close enough with at least one person to give them the other half, David. And then he gets it back, and now he has a full idol. So he's handed an idol. Devin's gets a lot that works favorably for him. So even though he finishes fourth place, not really. So that's just what I think when I look at, you know, what's his threat level coming into this game. This episode shows what his threat level was the second time, air quotes, he played. And it still wasn't that high. The only ones who were worried about him were the ones who already voted him out, because everybody else was like, you know, I think Julie says it in this episode, he doesn't really have much of a chance to win. Why would I get rid of him?
Yeah. He also like could downplay I was voted out. So, you know, don't worry about me. And meanwhile, if people watched the season, he was voted out because he had to, not because they wanted him to go home. So he was still a crucial part to this alliance, though he was voted out. He was going to have such longevity in the game with that group.
Mm-hmm. And while his placement is fourth, he is, and we've been talking about placements a bit with this series, he is the person voted out the earliest out of anyone, even in returning seasons, right?
Oh, yeah. No, so Aubrey goes before him here.
No, right? Aubrey goes after him.
No, I think Aubrey goes right before him.
Was it the double boot episode?
I think Aubrey goes...
Because Aubrey goes and then Wendy goes in that season.
Really?
Because they have that weird...
Oh, you're right. Devin's does go. So Devin's goes first. Devin's is the fourth person, but that is the thing. Yeah, sorry. I don't know why I thought that backwards. Chris goes third, Devin's goes fourth, and that's always the funny argument is third boot versus fourth boot, and like we're really going to argue about this. Devin, yeah, we always talk about Tiffany's the worst placing person on the season, like who never had a chance to come back and do better. You know, Jenna comes back and finishes third, but Devin's really is. Devin finishes, he's the fourth person voted out because he's on a disaster tribe. He needs to avoid a disaster tribe, but Rick Devin's is likable enough, not threatening enough, somebody that I think you would want to keep around. I don't know who's looking to vote Devin's off immediately on the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to play this game differently. Like you said, Phil, right? Like he had Edge of Extinction to fall back on. He doesn't have Edge of Extinction this time around.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to still play it as balls to the wall as he did coming back into the game? Or is he going to play it a little more conservative? Worked to play it that way. And I mean, even when the two of you were talking with Miles about Australian Survivor and how people need to play it more aggressively, maybe it's a better strategy for Devin's to play a bit more aggressively here because it puts him into a position and it puts other people off kilter a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, John, like, you know, you play video games, or for anybody who does like survivor pools for football NFL season, like where it's like, you got to pick one team. If you're in a double loss elimination, or if you're playing a video game and you have extra lives and you're like, I'll just take a chance here to see what works.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. Now, Devin's didn't know the first time he played that he was going to have this extra life. Right. But when he comes back into the game, he knows he's going to have that extra life. Still in this episode, it doesn't really show much aggressiveness because he's still trying to get his feet in the game. But it also shows like, okay, I'm not going to be absolutely forgiving of these other players and I don't need to be. Because if I'm not, and they ultimately decide to vote me out, which they're planning to do anyway, what are they going to do?
I have all these other people in my corner, too.
Yeah, and I have people in my corner. Like, I don't know. There's a lot that Devin's game is going to probably be the one that is most different from the first game, strictly because it cannot be replicated on this season. Mm-hmm. It can't.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's why I also have him as my winner pick, because I do think that he's somebody who he checks a lot of boxes. And if people are really thinking about it, it's like he got fourth on the most what the hell season of all time. You know, it's the same thing with Ozzy and Redemption Island or South Pacific. It's like he finishes fourth, but I think he really gets 11th. You know, don't count the first time he gets voted out. But when he comes back in, I think he gets voted out second after the post merge.
Mm-hmm.
He almost won the game, but he almost won the game because there was a twist that allowed him to just keep winning challenges to almost win the game. Devin's almost won the game because there was a twist that allowed him to get back into the game to almost win the game. This season, that's not there. So what does it really matter?
And he can't play as – he can't go up to Wardog and be like, no, I'm not going to work with you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he can't play the game that way. But he might still. And that's the interesting thing about Devin's and why Devin's is so fascinating. And why we look at him in this episode and the way he comes back to playing this game a second time and how it might relate to Survivor 50. Because, again, it worked for him to do this. Like, it worked for him to play it that way because of the positioning and because of where, like, the Manu tribe was at the beginning or at the merge, right? Where they were just at the bottom anyways. They're trying to figure it out. And the fact that Kama... he's almost benefits from the fact that he was on a disaster tribe because Kama wanted to get rid of Joe so badly. But what does that mean for him if he's in a tribe that functions? Like, that's the fascinating thing about Devin's is it likely he's on a disaster tribe? No. Which means how does he play the game of Survivor when he's playing it normally and not in survival mode the entire time?
Yeah, I mean, he's on the stack tribe. Mm-hmm. So... yeah, I mean,
he also won 4 individual immunities himself. So,
I agree with what you're saying. I mean, he's on the stack tribe. I think we're going to see a totally different game from Devin's. I don't know. What else was I going to say here? When it comes to the immunity challenge, he's not really in it for very long. Like, we don't see anything there. We see his relationship with David. I mean, obviously, with how close he was with David, that speaks a lot to he could make a really tight bond on this starting tribe.
Kelly and Lauren were really putting on the front during the comeback challenge of being like, go Rick, yeah, let's go Rick, and being so hyped for him to come in. But then we cut to a confessional being like, I did not want Rick back. This was bad. This was terrible. No good. And it's interesting that he knows it too. He knows like, why are you cheering me on? I don't want to work with you. You don't want to work with me. Let's just kind of draw the line. We don't need to play nice.
I think that's actually really beneficial for him too, is even though he's a one-time player, he knows what it's like to be voted out.
Yeah.
And then like have to play like with people who you know have lied to you, who haven't, whatever. I think he'll be able to read the players on this season a little bit better than some of the other one-time players. I think he'll have a little bit more luck with that, of being able to figure out like, that person's not telling me the truth because I've been voted out, or I've known I had to play an idol because that person was lying. I do think that Devin's will have an advantage over some of the other one-timers because he's had to be voted out and then turn around and play again with the people who voted him out.
And one thing that isn't really highlighted in this episode because it doesn't get into it is he's still willing to work with those people eventually. Like, yeah, he says, why would I work with you? You voted me out. But as the merge progresses, he does work with them, right? He is still a very malleable player and a player who is willing to figure out what side he has to work on. Very similar to like a Mike White type of character, right? Who like picks and chooses who he works with as necessary and deems fit. Honestly, having these type of players from the late 30s is probably going to change the way the gameplay completely is played in 50. And I don't know if the new era can really keep up with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to look at his voting history right now. I mean, he votes Kelly at the Joe boot. He votes Lauren at the Eric boot. And then he starts being like, all right, I can get on board. Although then he votes for Wardog at the David boot. He votes out Kelly.
Well, no one's going to tell him David's going home.
That's true. I mean, he was out. He was screwed on that one. The Wardog boot, he does vote for Aurora with Wardog, which is funny. And then Ron, when it's 3-1, he's the one who votes for Aurora again. He just keeps voting for Aurora. That's right. I forgot about that storyline. I don't know. He's the most up in the air player to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I'm excited to see how it's going to be in this episode. Again, it doesn't necessarily get into the idols and the advantages and all that, but it just sets the stage for Rick Devin's is good at challenges and he can beat Chris Underwood at challenges and he can go on to
be those knots really didn't do anything substantial. No. So
Chris got up there first anyway on the snake puzzle. It didn't matter.
The other thing though, and it's something that we haven't really discussed in this series at all, but it's come up in other conversations about the season. Returning player seasons, people care about airtime. Rick Devens is an airtime suck.
But I don't think he will be. I already kind of talked about that. I feel like that was so circumstantial. I don't feel like he will be.
I think he's just a good enough confessional giver that he will get the airtime no matter what.
I got this.
You gotta pull it up. How many?
No, because this is actually so funny. It's not as crazy as you would think. I talked about this when I did the everything you need to know about Devens.
It's or not maybe not air time. Maybe it's just air memory.
Memorability.
Like,
yeah.
Memorability.
He has 63 confessionals, but 32 of those are in the last three episodes of the season.
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And that's when the whole story, though, the whole story is about him the last three episodes of the season. He has 8 confessionals in the episode where he comes back. Okay, that makes sense. So of those 4 episodes, that is 40 confessionals. In the other 10 that he's in, he only has 24.
Yeah, okay.
It's not that crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Or 23, whatever it is. It's not that insane.
Just don't get him to the end game.
There weren't a lot of people to give confessionals to, honestly. Like, it does also make sense when you think about the cast that he was getting as many as he was with how early Kelly, Wardog, David go out, Joe, like some of these players that they were kind of relying on a little bit more from a casting perspective. And then I don't think that they wanted us to get too invested in the commas since the commas get screwed. So he is, John, he could be, but I don't think he's as much of one as Edge of Extinction makes it seem like.
Sure.
All right. That's it. That's it for this series for this summer, at least. We will be back in December. Congratulations to us for getting through this 22 episodes in the can. And with all of everything you need to know done, I'm feeling great about things. And I think we have about a week before they're going to announce the cast for season 49 officially. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. And like it, subscribe to the channel, become a patron, patreon.com/thespecialist. And we look forward to season 49 coverage now. How weird. We finished our 50 coverage to go back to 49. We'll see you next time.